By the mid-1970s through the 1980s, many developing countries carried huge amounts of debt, often several times more than their GDP, meaning they were never going to be able to pay it off. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank offered them help using structural adjustment programs. These offered debt relief to a country if they restructured their economy, mostly by opening their markets to foreign investment, for example, by allowing a foreign energy company to build a dam, or a company to open a water bottling plant, or drill for oil. What structural adjustment meant is that in order to receive debt relief, like lower interest or a reduction in the amount owed from international banks, the country was required to cut spending and liquidate their natural resources in order to pay off the restructured debt. To cut spending, these countries slashed funding for social programs, education, and wages. Countries that cut their wages the most were able to attract the most foreign investment, because corporations choosing a country to build a mine or open a factory in will favor countries that have the lowest wages, the laxest labor laws, and the fewest environmental regulations. This resulted in a spiral to the bottom, the developing nations competing with each other to offer the cheapest labor and the fewest regulations to win the contracts with foreign investors. Indebted countries that refuse to accept the revised terms of their agreements may face economic sanctions or even military interventions, sometimes sold to us as regime change, their leaders vilified as being populist or, worse yet, socialist. How does this all relate to conservation, you ask? Well, first, the system encourages this selling off of natural resources so countries can pay off their debts. Second, our ability to hold a sword over the heads of governments who do not do our bidding requires vast military spending, money that then is unavailable for loftier goals like tackling climate change or achieving sustainable development. The graph below compares U.S. spending from 2015 to 2017 on the military versus on addressing climate change. Unfortunately, as long as governments are beholden to corporate interests, policies that create this economic imbalance will persist. If you believe all of this seems wrong, then you should be familiar with the case of the Citizens United ruling of 2008. This is when the Supreme Court of the United States, despite opposition from voter protection groups and the Federal Elections Commission, effectively granted corporations the ability to make unlimited financial contributions to political campaigns. Essentially, it let corporations buy politicians. So, I ask, how can we expect to alleviate poverty, improve access to health care and clean water, and reduce biodiversity loss when the richest among us have free rein over where they operate, who they employ and for how much, and who gets elected to set the rules?